This is the beautiful actress and television favorite, Betty White.
Betty White, one of the queens of TV comedy.
Yes, but I'm not one to blow my own Vertuvenflugen.
Loved for her indelible Emmy Award-winning characters, the hilariously conniving Sue Ann Nivens on The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
I really think it would be better all around if I went out there and pushed her off the belt.
And the sweet but naive Rose Nyland on The Golden Girls.
A trip to the bank can be exciting if you wear a ski mask.
Her quick wit made her a game show favorite. And was where she met her soulmate, Password host Alan Ludden.
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Alan.
Betty White's comic timing never wavered, nor did her love and support of animals.
I just like animals better than people. It's that simple.
Her award-winning career is the longest in television history.
There's nothing I can do about that right now, but I can do the best in my little circle. So if I do that, maybe you'll do your best, and we'll get through this.
We remember comedy legend Betty White.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
Well, we're going to start tonight's show with some sad news that everybody's been talking about, and it's the fact that Betty White has died.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a few days short of her 100th birthday, and it sucks because she's one of these people that was so beloved. I mean, everybody loved her. I don't care what side of the aisle you were on. I don't care if you were like crazy politics or normal politics or whatever you think. Whatever you think is going on in the world, whether you believe in the moon landing or not, everybody loved Betty White. And I think it was really cool that we all told her how much we loved her while she was still alive. Like, she knew how loved she was. Like, the second she died, she wasn't like, I wonder if they love me still. She was always first and foremost in people's minds. If you remember, like, a year or two ago, there was that big Facebook campaign to get her to host SNL. And SNL was like, oh, yeah, you don't have to ask us twice. And not only did they have her on to host SNL, but it was the highest rated SNL in years, in like 18 ratings periods. It was like the highest rated and most watched. And everybody just, we just loved her. We just loved her so much. So, you know, tributes are pouring in from some of her celebrity friends and people that have worked with her. Sandra Bullock posted a whole thing about her today. But anyone who's ever known her, and you got to think about it, she's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the actress who has been on television the most. Like, she's had the longest television career in history that she's made the Guinness Book of World Records.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people that have worked with her for a very long time, early on in her career, then through Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Golden Girls, Hot in Cleveland. She was Emmy nominated at 92 just recently for something that she was doing. I think it was called, like, Betty White Rocks or something. I forget what it was. But so she's an icon. She really is an icon. But when people say icon, it reminds me of in 2013, I was working at a radio station when we were also on a television show, Dish Nation. And Hot in Cleveland was like the big show. It had just launched and it was doing really well. And we had all the different members of Hot in Cleveland on the show. Wendy Malick had come on and Perry Gilpin. Well, we also had Betty White on the show. And it was amazing meeting her. Let me just tell you, she is so, it's weird. Like, you know, you meet very, very, very famous people and it's like they take the air out of the room because they're so famous. Like, when they walk in, you just know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
She had that, but then she also had this very comfortable, like, as soon as she sat down with you, it's like you knew her forever. She
like
was not a celebrity.
She was like your grandmother. Like,
yeah, very much so. You know, or like your friend. She was more like a friend than a grandmother. She still has that biting wit, and she still has that celebrity aspect to her. Mm-hmm. So she's not very grandmotherly, but she's very, she feels like your friend immediately. In fact, during the entire interview, she sat right next to me. I was on with Scott and Todd, so it was the two of them and me in the room. She sat right next to me, and she held my hand almost the entire interview. Like, she held my arm or my hand. Like, we were two girls just sitting there experiencing this interview together, like we were just having a moment. Do you know what I mean? It didn't feel at all like a celebrity on when we were doing Dish Nation. So the TV cameras were going and it was live on the radio. So the radio was going. So we had a lot going on in the moment, but it didn't really feel, it felt like she just came in to say hi, you know? And Of course, because Hot in Cleveland was the big show, you know, we had to ask her about that and about how that was going and what she thought about being on television at night. She was 90 at that point.
We're having the most fun. I hope the audience has that much fun because we're having a wonderful time with those incredible gals, Valerie Bertinelli and Jane Leaves and Wendy Malick.
Oh, Jane Leaves. What did I say? Perry Gilpin. I meant, I knew it was one of the people from Frasier. So see, she knew it and I didn't.
Right. Well, because she's working with her and you don't know.
Yeah, I didn't, right. I wasn't even sure. But, you know, she went on to say, it was interesting because we said, you know, wow, that just must be so great. And you're still so funny. And she said, you know, you're only as funny as the writers. It's you. Thank you for saying I'm funny, but I'm not. It's the writers who are just writing really great stuff. So she gives credit where credit is due. Then we had to ask her, of course, you know, you can't not acknowledge somebody's age. It's not ageist to say to Betty White, all these years, you're still in television after all those years. Like, what is that about?
I am so lucky, and I never take it for granted. I appreciate every ounce of it, but it is a privilege to still get to this point.
Right, and she's still invited to work and keep working. And like we said, you know, she died at 99, and she worked literally until the day she died. I think she was even... she just guest hosted on something.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's really interesting. So we asked her about the beginning of her career, which started in 1939. Think about that. I mean, that feels like a time that you can't even picture.
Yeah, that was like, in black. That was when the world was black and white.
Yeah, the whole world's black and white.
That was the color back then.
We wanted her to go back to 1939 and tell us what it was starting out, but then we found out she starred in radio.
Yep, I was, I sang a song. I sang on a slow boat, I'm Gonna Get You on a Slow Boat to China, on a local station in Los Angeles, KLAC, and a local disc jockey saw me and hired me as his girl Friday. But it turned out to be Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So that's how she started out. And she said that's how she got her union card. And she said to her dad, this is the same thing that happened to me. When I first got an opportunity to get my union card, I called my dad. I was like, can I have the money for the union card? Now, when I joined, it was $700. I think now it's like $3,000. When she joined, it must have been like, you know, $125. But she didn't have the money then either. So she asked her dad for the money. And he basically said the same thing to her that my dad said to me, like, you know, just don't work enough to pay it off, but not too much that I have to give you more money.
Right.
Basically.
So it's $3,000 to sign up. How much is it a year?
Let's see. I think union dues are now, I want to say like $1,200 a year.
But they pay your, if you have that, you can have insurance though. So I
No. The way that, yeah, our union sucks. No, our union's great because it protects us and all that kind of stuff. And I do a lot of work that is union work, so it's nice to be protected. You have to make, I think it's $36,000 or $30,000 or more a year to get the health insurance.
Oh, so you actually have to work. You just can't pay the money and get their insurance. Okay.
No. Yeah, you just, at $1,200 a year keeps you... And they charge you based on how much you're making. So the more money you make, the more your union dues were. Like when I was at PLJ, I was also doing Dish Nation. And my union dues was something crazy, like $12,000 a year, something ridiculous.
Wow.
It was a lot of money. It was like a huge chunk of my salary. But it all goes towards your pension. And at the time, I was getting health insurance, so it all went towards that. So I wasn't really complaining. The thing that was really nice was when the interview was over, and I had a private moment with Betty White. This is something I wasn't going to say on the air. I said, you know, one thing that you and I have in common is our love for animals. I'm very active with a lot of different animal charities. I sit on the board of Angel on a Leash, which is, and I was about to explain what it was, but she knew what it was, which was an animal charity that had animals that were trained and used for therapy work and service work and all that. And I told her all about Marconi, and she has to see pictures. And I showed her pictures of my therapy dog, Marconi. And I told her about some awards that he had won. And she told me about like some charity work that she was working on. So we totally bonded over the love of animals and the work, the volunteer work that we had both done. And before she left, she just gave me a big hug. It was so... It felt so natural. It felt like we were old friends. Like when she left, I was like, that's my new buddy. Like she just, it didn't feel like a celebrity. It felt like me and Betty White, BFFs.
I think people rush to Facebook and Twitter so they can be the first one to post it. of who, you know, a celebrity that died. But as soon as I went on Twitter and I saw that, the what was trending was Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
So everybody was wanting somebody to check on Ryan Reynolds because we were all scared that he's not doing well because he's a huge Betty White fan.
Yeah, yeah. They've appeared together on many shows and stuff like that. They've done a lot together over the years, yeah.
But I've never seen a celebrity die, then another celebrity trend because of their death. That was
right. Everyone's worried, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the first place I went was his Twitter account and waiting to see what he was going to say, but he hasn't said anything yet.
Yeah, I'm sure he's coming up with a very moving, important statement or something funny. You know, he's got a sense of humor. She had a sense of humor. She always had like great quips and things like that. She also told us in that interview that the two people she'd never worked with and never met that she always wanted to at least meet, if not work with, were Robert Redford and Meryl Streep.
And I wonder if she ever got a chance to meet them.
Yeah. I mean, when she was 90, she still hadn't met them yet.
Right. She had another nine years to go, so I wonder if she found those two. She had to.
I mean, she put it out there enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, we lost a lot of good people this year. John Madden was the other one that we just lost. And the thing that blew me away about Madden is NFL Network put a whole special together that aired on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
That was all about John Madden's life. So 2 days later, he passed away. So what timing?
Oh,
at least he got to see that.
So they had honored his life and then he died 2 days later.
Right. So they had that out before he died.
I went to camp with these girls, these sisters from Rockaway Beach, Neponset, like a really nice area of Rockaway Beach. These girls had money. They'd originally gone to Beverly Hills High School and they moved to the East Coast. And I'd gone to high school with them and their parents were best friends with John Madden.
Really?
And yeah, and we were kids and I'd gone to their house and the father was bringing in cases and cases of Diet Coke. And my girlfriends were like, oh, John Madden's coming over. That's all he drinks. And he drinks a lot of it. So they were getting like a ton of Diet Coke ready for him. So I was like, wow, that's, you know, it's impressive that the guy was overweight, didn't take care of himself, drank Diet Coke and lived to 85.
Right.
Well, Betty White didn't eat well either. The one thing, I remember they were interviewing Wendy Malick and they were asking her about Betty White's diet. And she's like, I don't know how she does it. She made a joke recently, Betty White did, that she doesn't eat anything leafy or green. And Wendy Malick was like, yeah, the entire time on the set with her, she ate three things, Red Vines licorice, French fries, and hot dogs. I never saw her eat a vegetable, unless you consider French fries.
It's like those people that smoke till they're 95.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. So John Madden we lost. We lost Charlie Watts, remember from the Stones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jackie Mason.
Yeah, remember I posted, so when I used to produce Joan Rivers' radio show, Jackie Mason was one of the people who used to come in and fill in for her.
Mm-hmm.
If she was out for the night, it was Jackie Mason, Joy Behar, Robert Klein. Those were the three people that used to come in regularly and fill in for Joan if she was doing like the E or something, like she would do the, you know, the red carpet stuff. So she couldn't do the radio show at the same time. So Jackie Mason would come in and fill in all the time. And he was so old school. He'd be like, can I put you in a cab? I'm like, it's 8 o'clock at night. I could take a subway. He's like, I don't feel safe with that. And he would put me in a cab and he would hand $20 to the cab driver.
Biz Markie, another one that we lost.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Norm. Norm was a big one.
Yeah, that I do remember. That was kind of shocking because nobody knew he was sick.
Right. I think we were really surprised by that one. We were surprised by Betty White. We were really surprised by Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
Tawny Kitaen. Very surprised by that. Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. Forget that. Larry Flint. I didn't know Larry Flint died this year.
Oh, I didn't realize that was this year. I feel like that was years ago. That feels like it was so many years. Everything feels like so many years ago because 2021 has been, you know, 10 years.
Yeah, it's
this whole year has been like 10 years.
It's been the worst year. Dustin Diamond, Screech.
Yeah.
I interviewed him. He was a good guy. I mean, I didn't hate him. I asked him about Saved by the Bell the whole time. That's all I could care about was Saved by
the
Bell.
What did he die of? Do you remember? Was it a drug overdose or was it something drug related? Because remember, he was an addict for a long time.
Yeah, I think it had something to do. I don't remember.
I'd forgotten as I was going through some of the lists of the people that died this year. I almost forgot that DMX died this year.
Yeah. That was a big one.
That killed me. That absolutely killed me because I feel like I grew up listening to his music. And for me, DMX was an important artist for me as a kid growing up in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Then you have the old school guys like Ned Beatty, Ed Asner, Hank Aaron.
Well, Ed Asner, this year we lost Ed Asner, Cicely Tyson, and Betty White. Three really important acting icons from film and television.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Betty White and Ed Asner worked together on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and on Match Game as well.
Well, I think everybody back then, that generation, had to work on Match Game. It was in your contract.
Yeah.
So, but which one out of this list surprised you the most?
For me, it was probably DMX.
Really?
Because he wasn't that old. You know, it wasn't like, you know, when we lose somebody who's 99, it's really sad. And we thought Betty White was going to go well into her hundreds. We're like, oh, she's going to be one of those like 130-year-old women. So it was sad, but not shocking. To me, DMX was quite shocking because, first of all, he was only 49.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I didn't realize that he still had such a bad cocaine problem. Because remember, what he died of was a cocaine-related heart attack.
Oh.
So it wasn't like he was dying of cancer or he'd been sick a long time or it was just so shocking because it was like, wait, you're 49, you're still doing coke? What's going on here? He seemed like an adult now, you know? He's like a dad, an adult. Like, to me, that was the most shocking. For me, that was. What about you?
I think Dustin Diamond or the guy from ZZ Top, I think that was a big shock because I always thought he was in shape and in good health. To me, that was surprising.
But how old was he?
He
had to be in like his 60s or 70s, right?
Yeah, but he was always on the road. 1949, so don't make me do the math. 1949, he was born. But he was always on the road. He was doing shows every single night. And I saw him like a year ago.
Yeah, he was 72.
Yeah,
Dusty Hill.
He ran around like a 30-year-old on stage. And he was still in kind of good shape, sang, played the hell out of the bass. To me, that was surprising. Tommy Kitaen, because she was so young.
Yeah.
And I think Norm, because nobody saw that coming.
Right, because he hid the fact that he had cancer.